Final renews for the first time since July, too, guys. It's the first time since July. I think it would be foolish to go, to not do a pre-sale and then to not have the lineup until after Christmas. Like, I just, it feels like it's got to be before Christmas.
Well, first of all, they stole our bit.
Welcome back to the What Podcast. I'm Barry. That's Brian. That's Russ joining us from all the way on the other side of the country. It's Beth. How are you, Beth?
I'm pretty good. A little sleepy.
I'm so glad you're joining us. Hold up your right wrist.
Oh, I got a festival.
She's got another wristband on.
Yeah.
We're going to catch up. Beth has been very busy and is going to keep continue to be busy.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about Beth and her world travels. And I want to focus on Beth for a little while because the last time we had a show, it was at Cave Fest. And I've sort of reprimanded Brian because he didn't let Beth talk. And so my goal this morning is to let Beth talk.
Oh, I get to talk on the podcast this time?
You get to have the first segment.
That's exciting.
In the text thread, I was like, yeah, I'm already preparing my apology. It's easy to get wrapped up and forget you're not the only one there, right?
Yeah, Brian is used to doing a solo show, and so he's not used to letting other people talk. So this morning, for a little bit anyway, we're going to let Beth talk. In fact, my goal, I was going to reach out to Russ because he has control of the show. I was going to tell him to hit mute if Brian started talking. So,
well, listen here. I got my. Hey, I can turn my.
All right, I like that. That's good. So, Beth, how was the festival? How was
The one I'm currently going to,
or the ones I've been to recently? Yeah, that Brian didn't let you talk about.
In that
Pelham,
one.
The cave.
Yeah, Cave Fest was great. It was just couldn't have been better. Beautiful weather.
Yeah, you guys had
really good energy. Just love that place. It just it feels like early Bonnaroo. The first few years of me going to Bonnaroo, so easy to move around there, and just the people are awesome. And I really liked the lineup this time too. I felt like it wasn't. I don't want to say anything bad about bluegrass, but. Not as bluegrass.
That's all right. We do it all the time. Despite the fact that we did four episodes at least.
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of bluegrass shows lately. So, you know, it's kind of growing on me, I guess. But I prefer a mix of bluegrass and not bluegrass, which that one was.
You can, I mean, you come across the country and you met with the dudes, the guys that camp with us at Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
And, of course, obviously, Brian and Russ were there. How does that one I mean, we brag about it because it's so close, but we think it's our second favorite venue, Bonnaroo being first.
Yeah.
And you go to a lot, and you're going to talk about that a little bit more. But tell people who don't understand what that's like, that festival, that a venue.
Yeah, it's just much more relaxed is the best way I can describe it. It's just there are not so many blocks in your way of moving freely through the festival. But it doesn't feel unsafe. Feels like they have the infrastructure, they have the food, they have the water, all the baseline things that you need, but they don't have rules for the sake of rules, which I really appreciate.
Do you think it's because it's independent? I mean, this is a kind of a rare thing that it's not a Live Nation C3 run event. I mean, it's very much independent. Do you think that's the reason it feels a little more...
I think maybe because the festival I'm doing this weekend is an independent festival also. Mm-hmm. And it's similarly, it feels safe, but it feels like you have a lot more freedom. This one's a city festival that's in lots of venues. So you just get in with your wristband to different venues in the Ballard and Fremont neighborhoods of Seattle.
What's it called?
Yeah, it's called Freak Out. Freak Out exclamation point festival. And this is its 13th year. So it's actually really long-running established festival. But, I mean, obviously, all the different tiers of festivals have their benefits. I think the festival we're going to next weekend is going to be a really big festival, and that's going to be great, too. But the independent ones, you just seem to be able to have ease of movement that you don't necessarily with the bigger ones.
Yeah, I should say, for those who don't know, Beth, I think this now makes you our most frequent guest. Isn't that right, Russ? Am I wrong in that?
You're wrong. Beth isn't a guest. Beth is a co-host.
She's now. I know.
Deputized.
That was well. That's what I was getting ready to say. It's now. I need to get your W-9s and all that. You're gonna have to file some paperwork coming up.
Nice.
But you've been a semi-regular, and obviously we've camped together, and been to various festivals with all of us at different times. But you're also a working member of the media. You shoot a lot of these events, don't you?
Yep. So I shoot photos at as many as I can. Yeah.
So you come at it from a whole lot of different angles.
Right. Literally.
So, yeah, I think you told me.
People say that.
I think you told me before we started that you'd been to several events in the last, or this summer, I guess, this summer fall. So what other festivals have you been to?
Yeah, good question. It's really hard. It's interesting because I know some people really plan festivals and they know exactly what's going to happen. They have the lineup printed out. They highlight all the things they're going to see. And I am really a take it one at a time kind of festival goer, especially after the Bonnaroo cancellation. I'm just thinking, I'm not going to prepare for these. I'm going to figure it out the day before or the day of, what I'm doing that day. So, which means that I forget the ones that have happened already, and I haven't been able to think very much about even the one that's happening next weekend. I'm so focused on this weekend. But I have done a lot of local festivals. I have a favorite venue here in Washington where I shoot regularly. It's called the Quill Scene Lantern. We'll give them little shout out. That's where I'm the house photographer. So they did a full festival 4th of July weekend. They did a metal festival for Labor Day weekend. And then two mini festivals, one bluegrass and one kind of indie. It was Damian Jurado and a lot of bands associated with St. Yuma and Westmoreland, who was organizing that one. So lots of different types of festivals this summer.
All right. I promised I was going to let you talk, and I did. And Brian, congratulations. I'm proud of you. I know
he's really great at letting me talk in real life, I will say, just not on the podcast.
I got no problem shutting the hell up. It doesn't bother me. But it's good to get us all back together here, by the way, guys. Yeah, right?
Yeah. Can we clip that? We need that to save for next time you don't shut up.
Save the part about him talking in real life.
that was my goal, was to let Beth talk. So let me get real quick. We've got some Bonnaroo news that we're going to get to here in just a minute. We've got some big news as far as Brian and Beth. We've been offered, the podcast has been offered an unbelievable opportunity that you two are going to take advantage of on our behest. I just like using that word. I think I've used it right. Behest. Yeah. It's a good word.
Well, you got $20 Beth words. Is a wordsmith here of us all. So.
Yeah. You guys are going to go to Mexico City to the Corona Capital Festival at the invitation.
That's what they tell us.
In less than a week.
That's what they tell us. We're still working on those specifics, and we'll get more into it here in just a few. But if nothing else, the governmental issues we're having right now, and flights and TSA and all those things are still a little bit of a thing. But overall, it looks like it's coming together.
Yeah, just so real quick, we did a show a couple of weeks ago with Ricardo to talk about this event, and I guess it went well. They must have liked it well enough. They reached out and said, hey, we'd love to have you guys join us. And for whatever reasons, mostly because Russ and I are such Luddites, we don't have passports available.
That's going to change. I'm going to get mine.
I guarantee it. Because
I don't want to miss out again.
That was a quick yes, but Brian said yes, and reached out to Beth and said, hey, somebody's got to take pictures. So you guys are going to go. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But so it's action-packed show. let's go ahead and take a quick little break if we can and sort of reset everything. And then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about some Bonnaroo news. And then we're going to
Bonnaroo news for the first time since July, too, know, guys. Right? It's the first time since July.
And then we're going to talk about Mexico City. That just sounds weird coming out of my mouth, but I like it. Yeah. We'll be back in a minute. All right, and we're back. Yeah, Bonnaroo news. We've had a couple of clues. We've had some information, kind of confirmation is probably a better word, about pre-sale tickets and stuff that we've been hearing. So who wants to start? Russ, you keep up with it a whole lot better than I do.
I'll start.
Catch us up.
Okay, well, like you mentioned, and I think Brian even brought this up a few episodes ago, you checked socials for Bonnaroo. They have been silent since last July, right? So, you know, going back quite a few months.
July 24th,
July 24th. Well, just this past week, they woke up, I guess you could say. They got active again. They posted a little teaser video, just kind of like hyping up the farm, reminding people, you know, hey, you know, we're coming back. That got a lot of people excited. Then they dropped this news that we kind of already knew that there's not going to be this, you know, the pre-sale window before the lineup drops this year. So we kind of knew that was going to happen. And then they dropped the first Roo clue last, I want to say Friday. Yeah. If you're listening to this Wednesday when it comes out. So yeah, quite a lot just in 1 week after such a long silence. What did you guys think of the news and the activity?
Well, we know that our buddy Brad, you know, left to go do his own business. Brad Parker. Sorry. Okay. Bonnaroo
Brad. We've had two buddy Brads that have left.
We've had more than we've got a bunch. Good fair question. Yeah.
We got a lot of asshole friends named Brad. Sorry, Brad.
And a good friend. And Brad from the Roo crew, too.
Said with love. Yeah, Brad Parker, who is the director, and he and our friend Corey Smith, you know, were very active, which is why the sort of social silence thing, you know, kind of jumped out to anybody who's been paying attention. And so they have a new director, and we've been told from, you know, the people there at C3 and Live Nation, give her a minute, you know, give her some time to get her sea legs and figure things out. So, plus, they had, obviously, as Beth alluded to, you know, the cancellation, the aforementioned cancellation was pretty traumatic for a lot of us. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I never felt like I didn't want to be pestering them every week, you know, tell me something, you know, what's going on, what's going on? Not that you know, that they would do that for me, but I just, you know, give them some time kind of thing is what it felt like to me. So, it makes sense to me. Feels normal. Feels right.
Yeah. Oh. And speaking of activity, you guys remember somebody posted this photo on our Discord. It looks like kind of a drone shot of some of the campgrounds. You can see the tower, the disco ball there. It looks like they've maybe paved some of the roads and maybe done some like land work, grading. I don't know, but it.
Yeah, that was a really good looking picture, whoever grabbed that. And it almost does look like there's some more solidification, if that's the right word, of the pass through the GA campgrounds. I don't know if that means concrete, but it could. I don't know, but it looks amazing. But it always looks amazing in the off season. They have an incredible grounds keeper there, which we have not been able to get on the show yet. His name's Justin. He does a great job there. But it was nice to see that. As far as the dates go, meaning the length of time between posting for Bonnaroo, which is very unusual because they have taken in the last couple of years the NFL model to where they the NFL kind of keeps their news cycle year round and they're very strategic with it. Bonnaroo's done that a lot too, and I think it's worked out real well for them. And then all of a sudden, nothing. And so I'm guessing there's some strategic nature to that too. Really nice to see them being active again. I love the new logo, by the way. It's not a big change, but just the kind of metallic looking kind of color change on the rings.
Yeah, it's got kind of a shiny, translucent look to it.
Not selling tickets. We knew this was coming, but it's now actually, you know, in the on the books here. Mm-hmm. They're not selling tickets until the lineup is being released. I don't know what to think about that, because it feels like they're leaving money on the table, but there's got to be a reason why, and I can't guess what that reason is. What do you think?
Well, that was going to be my part of my question. Do you think it's strategic, or do you think it's kind of like what I was kind of trying to say a minute ago, is give us a minute. We need to catch our breath. What happened last year at the end of COVID, at the end of rainouts and hurricanes and all of that kind of stuff, to me felt like, and plus again, Brad leaving is no small thing. Brad Parker is no small thing.
Sure.
It felt like, just give us a minute. You know, this is a good time. Let's regroup, you know, rethink everything. Is what it feels like to me.
They did say, you know, they're not doing the pre-sale, but they are extending people who bought 2025 tickets will get a chance to buy early.
For sure.
And I don't know how they're going to enforce that, but that is one of the part of the announcement was no pre-sale, but if you came last year, we're giving you a bone. So,
yeah.
The break is one thing, but the not selling tickets, because people will gladly buy tickets in advance. Proof is there. Thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people will buy tickets without knowing who's on the lineup and strategically decide, or at least maybe it's not as strategic as we think. I guess that's kind of my question that I'm just kind of thinking out loud is there a strategy to this, or is it, hey, like you kind of just said, Barry, is that we're just give us some time to breathe on this one. Yeah. And maybe that's all it is. But I also think that big organizations, corporations like this don't do anything just sort of and kind of, right? Like they know they sit around in board meetings and make decisions for very specific reasons.
I think we're saying the same thing. That's what it felt like to me. Yeah. Anything they would have done quickly, you know, just to put something out there would have felt to me like they were just putting it out there to put it out there.
I think they're managing.
I
was just going to say, I think they're managing expectations too. So if you say you can't buy this until you know exactly what you're getting, then the sentiment and the buy-in, it's not like a bait and switch sort of situation. So if they're telegraphing that it's going to be different, I think that's smart of them to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I could already see a Reddit post saying, look at Bonnaroo selling tickets already, trying to make money, and
I think we're all saying the same thing.
Yeah, especially since they've scaled it back so much. I mean, they've cut Thursday completely. They've cut
Give
Tuesday,
us a minute you know? To rethink what we're going to do and how we want to package it and how we want to sell it and present it. Yeah.
And right now, everything they post, they're going to get backlash from the cancellation. You know, that's still fresh on everybody's mind. So it is kind of a way of limiting that type of, you know, negative interaction.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. And I want to come back to that when we talk about Mexico City a little bit, to put a pin in that, I guess. But what else? I mean, I'm excited. Do you guys have a guess about the clue? Yeah, I never.
Well, first of all, I mean,
I'm terrible.
They stole our bit.
Yeah. Give us a call.
Yeah. Where do you think they got that from?
I know. I thought that was one of the best things ever. It's a great. Mm-hmm. It's great for us. It provides content. Plus, you get to hear from actual people. I love everything about it.
Yeah. So, did you guys call in?
No, not yet.
Okay. Did you? Anybody?
Yeah, I did. I'll play the recording for you.
Yeah, ring her up. Ring her up.
Yeah.
Hello. You've reached Bonnaroo Mystery Services. Please hold while Bonna Clara gazes in her crystal ball to see what's in store for you.
I see your fortune rising. Slow, golden, impossible to rush. The air feels thick with memory, the kind you can't quite name. But When the beat arrives, it'll taste like comfort and sound like home. The rhythm, you seek, will rise in its own time.
So am I supposed to know who the band is because of that?
Yeah. Well, combined with the visual, because they posted the, you know, a little graphic, and inside her crystal ball is like a loaf of bread. So the first thought that everyone had is Daily Bread, who is an EDM artist. I think they've played before, so that's pretty likely. And then the other guest was Sophie Tucker. They have an album called Bread and then another album called Butter. So, you know, it could probably go either way. I don't think we've had, you know, confirmation, but those are the two most likely guesses.
I like it. Yeah. I like the multimedia.
Yeah, Daily Bread's the one.
It.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Daily Bread's the one I saw the most. But I mean, when it comes, you know, Barry, we're the same on this. Every time I see one of these Rue clues, I'm like, what the hell am I looking at? But also, no, this is coming from a guy who looks at a crossword puzzle and loses his damn mind and looks at any kind of board game that needs to be understood. And I get, like, I don't do well with connect the dots through various out-of-the-ordinary ways.
But, and all of my guesses are... All of my guesses are going to be 60s English bands. It's going to be the Kinks or Led Zeppelin or whatever every time. So, I just prefer not to embarrass myself.
I guess we'll get another one next week or maybe this week later on when, you know, maybe they're doing an every Friday thing now leading up to, does this sound like the lineup's coming out? Not in January now. I mean, if they're starting this early with Rue Clues.
Yeah, you know, you make a good point. We've sort of, I've sort of, you know, like I said, I'm going to give them some space. But, I mean, here we are now in middle of November. It's time. So we need to probably reach back out and start asking those questions. Like,
because
it's coming.
This seems like it's lining up for an earlier release than what we're used to.
Everything in corporate America and really all Americans is kind of follow the leader and copy what you see near you, or at least emulate it in some way. And everybody's releasing lineups early, it seems.
Yeah.
Maybe not everybody,
Coachella,
but lots are.
Dropped their lineup like months
Coachella,
ago at this point, right?
Very early.
Yeah.
Very early for Coachella. Hinterland, who we have a little bit of relationship with, has added a fourth day, and they have not released their lineup yet, but I believe that's coming soon too. Not that any of us hardly care about that, but it's just another example. And so it just feels like Bonnaroo will fall along with that. And at this point, I would agree that would be a good move.
Yeah,
just to
you don't want to be last.
Go into the holiday,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go into the holiday, the final, you know, Christmas season there and have some tickets for. I mean, I think it would be foolish to not do a pre-sale and then to not have the lineup until after Christmas. Like, I just, it feels like it's got to be before Christmas, which would be the earliest that Barry, I don't know. Help me remember. I don't think they've ever done December drops. It's almost always January. It used to be February.
Yeah, it used to be the first week of February. Yep.
Yeah. Like right after the Grammys. Right after the Grammys was usually right about the time that you would get that. So it's been going backwards earlier, you know, over the course of 20 years. And I would guess we're going to get the earliest drop that we've ever seen. And I hope so anyway.
I think so. And I think probably is part of what we've been saying is, you know, they've got to get out in front of it because of what's happened, you know, last year even. They need to... they need to confirm to all of us who are fans, who are going to go anyway, you know, for the most part, that we are glad we're going, type of thing. So
I also wonder, as far as pricing, as we, you know, the guy in charge is not in charge anymore. When we talk to Brad, he's like, oh, they're going to stay the same. Well, he doesn't work there anymore. So
anything
I don't know.
But
the prices of all festivals are creeping up as everything is. And Bonnaroo is still staying at one of the best values of a ticket price that out there. I think it would be in their best interest to not make a drastic price change.
Am I misremembering, though, that he even said if there was a price change, it would not go up. It would be down, as in because they're doing fewer days.
That sounds like the kind of thing Brad would say.
Yeah. There you go.
But prices never go down.
You guys deal with it. Yeah. No, it was sort of they're rather rethinking, you know, it's fewer days and smaller crowd size and that sort of thing. So if anything, it might go down. But I think that was, I wouldn't hold him to that. But it would.
Well, they could have some kind of tier on the front end that's a little cheaper or something. And that way you can get away with saying, well, we went cheaper. Well, for like 10,000 people, you went cheaper, right? Like, I'm not concerned about that at all. I think pricing is going to be at the same baseline that it's been at. And that's just one guy making some stuff up on a podcast, right?
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know that. I feel like that's probably where they'll be.
I'll ask you, Beth, especially, how you feeling about it now? I mean, you're the one that has to make the long trek. The three of us mooks, I mean, we get in the car and roll down the hill. we're there.
2,500 miles. 2,500 miles, for those that don't know.
And that was traumatic and everything. You're excited about coming back, and I think you said before we hit record that you ran into a Bonnaroo fan out there where you live. What's the vibe? What are you feeling about 2026 Bonnaroo?
I'll go back. Happy to go back, especially if I manage to wrangle another photo pass, because that is unfinished business that I feel like I really want to go back and shoot it. I probably would still go even if I were just in GA, because I have done that before. Bonnaroo is always a given. I'm going to go if they have it. We were at dinner the other night, two nights ago in Seattle, and we were seated at the bar talking about Bonnaroo, because we were talking about next weekend's festival. And a guy just perked up next to my friend John and kind of looked over and he was almost like trying to get our attention, like he really wanted to talk about Bonnaroo. And he was wearing a shirt. He had a Bonnaroo shirt on. It's like a tie-dyed shirt. And of course, you know, we talked a bunch. His first year was 2018. They bring a whole crew. Mm. It sounds a lot like Church Boner's crew, where they come from all different places. And yeah, it sounds like he's really excited and ready to go. We were saying like the cancellation was sad and heartbreaking, but it seemed like the joy and excitement, like, we're almost there, we're halfway through the year, whatever was there. So that was great.
Well, hold on, Beth. Now, don't leave out the best part here.
So I said, as we were leaving, I checked back in with them and said, oh, yeah, my friends have a podcast. And he's like, oh, yeah, which one? I said, the What Podcast. He's like, oh, I know that one. So you are famous in Seattle, even. Your reach stretches farther.
Y'all want to know what my first response was when she told me that?
Like, you can guess.
You know people lie a lot, right?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, I know that one.
Yeah, right. It didn't seem like that one. It didn't seem like that. It seemed more definite.
I couldn't even take the compliment. I had to question it. Yeah,
oh, I get it.
Right.
Well, I ran into somebody too that we'll talk about that on the end. Speaking of being recognized, so we'll get there.
I didn't get that guy's name, but he did tell me their totem is an almond breeze, a lit up almond breeze totem. So we'll look for him at Bonnaroo.
The nut milk, almond breeze, right?
Yeah. What is almond breeze?
Yeah, I think it's almond milk.
Yeah, almond milk.
Yep.
Nice. Well, I guess that makes sense if he's a Seattle guy. That sounds like something.
Boy, that's just
out Reese there.
Yeah. Those Seattle people and their almond milk.
Seattle people.
There's nothing wrong with nut milk. But,
all right. Any other Bonnaroo news that we need to touch on?
Yeah. Well, I do also want to shout out Pondo, longtime listener. We've had him on the show. He's said on social media that he is coming back.
Yay! That means he's feeling better. He's one of the best.
Yeah, I think he's missed the last year or two because of health reasons and just wasn't advised, you know, to go through it. But he is working on getting healthy and making sure that he is in his best shape so that he can return to the farm in 2026. So he comments all the time and, you know, love to see you on the farm again. So.
Nobody represents Bonnaroo as well as Pondo and his hat with horns and his giant clock, his Flava Flav clock.
Yeah. I mean, as soon I've mentioned it before, but as soon as I figured out we had a common love of Dave Perner and Soul Asylum, of the long lost bands from the 90s, I was like, this guy's right in my book. Yeah. I like this guy.
We need him back on the show so you and Brian, so you and he can talk about 90s bands more together.
Yeah, that would be fun. Cool.
Nothing hits home like getting a Pondo approved
in
the Discord. Mm-hmm. So glad to hear he'll be back. That's awesome. Yeah. All right, well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Mexico City and a couple of topics that came up during our interview with Ricardo that I want to explore a little bit deeper with you guys after thinking about it. So we'll be right back. All right. So, again, like I said, we had Ricardo on to talk about a Corona Capital Festival in Mexico City, which is next week. And fortunately for you guys, Brian and Beth, you're going to go as our representatives. I know you're excited. I'm trying not to think about it, to be honest with you. Jealous.
I'd say you got to be a little disgusted, right? Yeah. You got to be a little disgusted.
I can't let myself think about it, because if I do, I'll just get mad. But there's no way I was going, so I'm happy for you guys. I'm super thrilled.
Well, I'm excited beyond belief. But this will shock nobody, Barry. When you were trying to arrange the interview for this festival. I mean, I'm down for anything. I don't almost ever like veto any ideas. Let's just do whatever. But I was the whole time I was thinking, the hell are we doing this for?
Yeah.
Like, what exactly is this? I know. Why? Where? Huh? What country? Right. Oh, I know. Okay, sure. Why not? And then 2 weeks later, it's like, hey, all right, international trip. Here you go, buddy. I'm like, what a great idea. Oh, my God. This was the best show we ever did. Yeah. Oh, jeez. What a wonderful show.
Funny how those things work, isn't it? But knew it would be interesting because I wanted to compare and contrast type of thing. And
I'm mostly joking, but I know there was a little bit of a
To that point, I mean, we get pitched a lot for, you know, hey, have my guy on as a guest. He can talk about all kinds of things.
People normally trying to sell stuff. We get a lot of that. Sure. I mean, that's just part of the ethos, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the criteria for what interests me is, one, does it interest me? And two, does it fit our show? And our show, you know, we try to focus on festivals and live music in general and trends. And as we've said many, many times, the sausage making. And so, you know, I thought this was a great opportunity to say, how do they do festivals in another country? It is a Live Nation. Yeah. You know, event, but it's in a completely different other country and a lot of similarities, not that different. I mean, just real quick, you guys are going to see Chapel Roan, Foo Fighters, Linkin Park, Deftones, Vampire Weekend, Queens of the Stone Age, Weezer. So of my Monsters and Men. So what, as we noted, Alabama Shakes, a lot of acts that you would expect to see at Bonnaroo, but also a lot of deeper dive sort of, what'd you say, Brian, 90s, a lot of 90s rock. They're very guitar-oriented rock, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there's, well, it's one of those, and Beth can speak to this a little bit more, the undercard, I don't know almost any of it. The top of it, for my experience and all this, the top of it, it's just top, heavy as it could be. And then the undercard, I'm not saying it's bad. I don't know. And Beth can speak to more of that. But definitely a lot of the headliners are world renowned.
Yeah, I just had to pull it up. So
yeah,
I have the printed schedule of the festival I'm doing right now because my friend Charisse is like Brian and printed things and highlighted them for us. So that is actually really helpful.
Yeah. Smart woman.
Blame it on your friend.
I know.
Sure.
It was actually really helpful when I'm on my phone doing this. If I'm going to be a co-podcaster, I'm going to need some equipment, I think. But I have it on my iPad for
we'll
this.
Send you a printer.
You can fax it to me. Just fax me a schedule. Undercard, it's going to be fun to see Four Non-Blondes. I guess that falls in the 90s category.
Absolutely, I just saw them at Shaky Knees, too. You're going to love it.
I'm excited about that. Jet would be fun.
Oh, I forgot about Jet,
I've seen Kaiser Chiefs before. A couple of these were actually, I went to Live 8 in Philadelphia. So some of these bands were on that lineup, including Linkin Park. So it was Linkin Park with Jay-Z on that. Yeah, Waxahachie, Lucy Dacus, I think that's how you say her name. And Hollow Cove, so I'm excited about. Grizzly Bear, Jelly Roll, who we saw at Bonnaroo with 3-6 Mafia, which was great. Let's see, just going. Samia, I saw, there's a festival called Thing here in Washington, and a lot of these were on that lineup also. Excited to see TV on the Radio. Never seen them. They're at the very bottom of the schedule, which is kind of funny.
Well, they do it alphabetically because we noted that.
Oh,
I think
okay,
Brian
gotcha.
Pointed that yeah, out because yeah, I yeah. thought the same thing. I was like, wow, there's some great names at the bottom. And then Ricardo yeah, was like, yeah, we just yeah. decided to do headliners, big, bold, and then everything else is alphabetical.
Got it. Yeah. So yeah. I'm so unprepared for this festival that I haven't even listened to the podcast, the what podcast episode about the festival yet, because then
fake
I thought,
fan.
Well,
oh my
if
God.
This doesn't work out, I'm going to be so bummed listening to this. It's just going to make me more excited. And now that it feels like, knock on wood, it seems to be working out. Now I'm going to listen to the episode.
Now, this is Beth at 101 all day. She is not going to even, until it's like stamped, sealed, and ready and we're going, smart. She's not going to preview it. She's not going to wait, spend her time on it.
Smart.
For the it's PTSD in a way, right, Beth? I mean,
exactly.
You dealt with
exactly.
this a few times.
There's only two, I think I mentioned this on the podcast before, only two Bonnaroos have I really studied the schedule and looked up all the bands and figured out what I wanted to see. And it was the Hurricane cancellation and this year.
Oh, there you go. So don't do that ever again. You're the
nope.
one.
You've learned
no,
your
this
one.
Is my fault. Yeah. Well, you guys were wearing the shirts. You pre-bought shirts, which I think
oh,
is even worse.
Me. That was
yeah, there's no you guys. That was Brian.
Well, you were wearing shirts of canceled festivals, though, and I think that's kind of bad luck, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've got an airplane ride. You can catch up on all the What podcasts, which, by That's the way, right. all of you people can. Ooh. We go back to the whatpodcast.com, and you can listen to all the past episodes going back to 2018.
So, I always do on airplanes, actually. Feels like I'm hanging out with my friends while I'm sitting there on the plane by myself. So
there you go.
I will be doing that.
Nice.
That's we're givers. That we're here for you.
Thank you.
Well,
I appreciate it.
Before Barry, I know you have a couple things you want to go to. Yep. Just as far as the bands day by day, I just want to run through quickly what I'm looking at. Friday is the day here for me. Corona. Is it? Do we even call it Capital? Am I trying to be too?
Yeah, don't do it. We're from Tennessee. Yeah, don't
capital.
Do that.
Yeah. Capital. We're Corona Capital. but anyway. Friday is the day. It's loaded up for me. Saturday, which was the same way Bonnaroo was this year for me, if it happened, was kind of a little bit there. I mean, Chapel Roan on a Saturday night in an international city, like probably the first, I'm guessing the first time she's played Mexico City. That's going to be a spectacle if nothing else. And everybody who is regular here knows that I'm a big Chapel Roan fan. So that's a big time with Vampire Weekend on Saturday night. But overall, that day doesn't have a lot for me, and then Sunday picks it kind of back up. So it's just like any other festival. You pick your days, you see where your highlights are, and what I mean, it's just like American Festival. It's just in Mexico City. That's what makes it that so exciting. But yeah, Friday is action packed. But of all the bands on this list that I like a lot, I'm really looking forward to Jerry Cantrell. Speaking of 90s, I mean, this is an eye roll. This is an eye roll by a lot of people I know. But the primary songwriter and really Lane Staley from Alice in Chains is what everybody knows, the voice and everything else. It's Jerry Cantrell. He's the guy. And he's playing on the second stage at 5:00 on Sunday, which means the crowds will probably be light and it'll be good classic 90s rock show. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I got to fly from Seattle to Mexico City to see Jerry Cantrell for the first time. It's pretty funny.
Which she is going to enjoy.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm very excited about that. I love Alice. Yeah.
This isn't I'm making her do it thing.
Oh, not at all. That's no, funny. No, I would make him go.
That's funny. Yeah.
But then also that night is James, the English band James, Weezer, Deftones, Linkin Park. So that is a 90s day. So I'm really looking forward to that.
All right, so
garbage. Garbage is great. I've seen them. I saw them open for Smashing Pumpkins in 98. So I'm excited about that, too.
So just a quick recap. You could go back and listen. But it was fun to talk about. And Brian, I think you brought up and Ricardo pointed out that Mexico City is, if not the number one city for music streaming in the world. But I think he also said it's number three as far as like live music. So I'm very excited to hear what you guys encounter and see as far as crowds and all that. But the thing that I wanted to talk about that he mentioned, and Brian, you noted it, but I've heard other people talk about it in relation to other festivals, and that's this idea of sponsorships. They're pretty upfront and open about the fact that their stages, and you will see branding, you will see sponsorships, and that's what helped keep the ticket price down. And we have said from the very beginning of Bonnaroo that you don't feel that. And my comment is always, I've never felt like Bonnaroo had their hand in my pocket. There have been moments maybe where that's changed
a little
bit.
It's picked up over the years. But just to your point quickly, Barry, the secondary stage, the two main stages, Corona, of course, is the first one. The second one is the Dorito stage.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. What?
I mean, yeah.
Dorito stage.
Now, so
it's
Ricardo
already working
said,
on you. You're eating a lot of Doritos lately.
I love Doritos.
I think that's why.
But I have no problem with that. Who doesn't love Doritos?
Well, and quickly, before we move away from that, Barry, is the idea, and we talked about this with Ricardo, is that Americans do tend to have this negativity towards sponsorships and too much of that signage and too much of that in your face. And I understand why.
I used
to be that way too. Like as a baseball fan, you know, and stadiums and ballparks are very important to a diehard baseball fan. And when they start naming them Progressive Field instead of Jacobs Field in Cleveland, you start to think, well, this is just annoying. This is like NASCAR. I don't like this. I'm mad about this.
I was gonna say NASCAR.
I am so far over that though these days. These things need money. These things need
funding.
There it
is. That's the question. Uh-huh. That's what I wanted to ask you guys. I mean, if it's the difference between your ticket being $300 and $500 because Doritos is on the stage, how do you feel about it? Now, and I should go back. There are some bands, and I haven't really heard this in a while, but 10, 15 years ago, there were some bands that wouldn't play, you know, under a corporate banner for whatever. They were anti-corporation or whatever. I haven't heard a lot of that anymore so much as, you know, and Ricardo even said, you know, they try to find sponsors that are at least music adjacent, you know, versus like Bill's Bank or, you know, whatever, Tom's insurance company, you know, and then they try to incorporate that into the event, you know, like I can't remember what his example was, but, you know, Pepsi will do, or Coke will do something, have a tent that's music related.
Yeah.
But so back to my original point, if again, it's the difference between a $500 ticket and a $300 ticket to have Doritos on the up above the stage, what are your thoughts?
I did convert the pesos to dollars. This festival is about a $250 ticket.
Sweet.
Wow. That's as cheap as you're going to get in the world for a festival of this magnitude. But Beth, go ahead.
I was going to say, if they want to send me to Mexico, I will gladly view some advertising for Doritos and Corona, because those are also not brands. I mean, I haven't fully researched them, but they're not brands I feel terrible about supporting at this point without knowing more information.
Is that the difference? Is that a difference? Is it the fact that there's any branding on it, or is it the corporation behind the branding, or some level of all of that?
I think ideally you have time to check that out and see what you're supporting. I think it gets very complicated now to try to parse all of that. And we are also, in doing this, supporting small bands, or at least bands that we don't know on the smaller stages. So there's a lot of cost benefit analysis. And at some point you should just throw your hands up and say, okay, this seems like a good trade-off.
Yeah, I don't have any proof other than just an inclination, but I have a feeling we're going to start seeing it more and more at things like Bonnaroo.
Probably. And
it's too expensive.
The difference with Bonnaroo is it's just such a different place, as we've talked about.
Yeah.
Every 100 different ways, you know, over and over again on this show, it's the what stage, it's the which, it's that, it's this, it's the other. That's what it was. That's what it is. If you change the what stage to the Corona stage, yeah, I am going to have a problem.
Okay, there
and
it
I
is.
Think everybody yeah. That's part of it.
Because you get to Bonnaroo, you are sealed inside this bubble, right? And you want to forget that the outside world exists. You only want to, you know, be in the festival. And if you see what's basically a billboard, you know, as a stage, that takes you out of that bubble. That reminds you, oh, yeah, there's still the real world out there. City Festival, I think it's different because you're not in that bubble. You're in a city. And, as you know, as soon as you walk around the fence, you know, you're right downtown. So, you know, I think that's part of it.
I mean, where does everybody go when they go to New York? A tourist for one of the few first five places they go. Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
That's all Times Square is. Yeah. You know, and people think it's wild and interesting to see. So, like, I think it's varying degrees and it's case by case with a lot of people. But, you know, if this Corona Capital Festival had a early start of a grassroots kind of thing, and it had its own culturally important to indigenous to their area stages and locations and all these things, and then all of a sudden one day it's Corona, Doritos, Corona Sunsets, Nivea, that's the smaller stages, Nivea stage. I think people might have a problem with that, but this is where they started from, and it's also just a very different cultural place, which we talked to Ricardo about.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that this is also, they're not, this is part of why they're sending people like us there. We just got lucky because there weren't bigger corporate entities that could take up the allotted amount, but this is a Mexican festival that just has American acts at it. I expect to see Latinos almost predominantly at this festival.
Yep. I wanted to bring it up. I want you guys to be aware, or not be aware, but you know, make note of it. How does it feel? Is it different? I mean, NASCAR is the thing. I mean, it'd be one thing if, like, you know, all of a sudden Jim James is coming out on stage and he drinks a big old glass of milk or something like they do in a NASCAR race.
And wearing a jacket with like 20 logos all over it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see that happening. But I do see something happening. Maybe the what stage, but there's branding around it somehow. I don't know, but the prices are going up so much. They're gonna have to figure out something, and I think that's my point in bringing it up.
And speaking of the 90s, like, that was a really 90s thing, that the bands sell out. That band's a sellout. That was a really to 7 years of that decade. And it was so foolish to give these bands such a... And Metallica got the worst of it back in the day. I used to be that guy, too. And I remember Jason Newsted, their bass player. I saw an interview with him one day 20 years ago. And it was something like, we're sellouts. We sell out every single show we play. And I was like, that's a really good way to put that.
Good point.
That's exactly what I was going to say, too. We're 90s grunge kids, so we grew up with that. But we also went to Woodstock 99, I got my first credit card at Woodstock 99. Yeah. So I think we also kind of have seen this corporate thing happening, and it has good and bad effects.
Yeah, and that was a corporate sponsorship barrage And yeah. that was part of the big, I mean, of all the things that were awful, and we won't relitigate.
Right, we don't need to get into that.
But of all the things that were awful about that, that was just as big a one of them as the, how gross this place looks with all these, you know, Pizza Hut boxes or whatever it might be. And so that's a lot of leftover from that decade. Most people have moved on from that. Like Foo Fighters, about who were the Friday night headliners, had a commercial for one of their better songs of the last decade for a Ram truck. And I was like, that's the coolest commercial I've ever seen. I love this commercial. That song's great.
It's working. It's working.
Yeah.
15 years before that, I would have said, that son of a bleep, Dave Grohl, I knew he was a sellout. Yeah. Like, and that's weird. That's just weird. I'm glad to be moved past it.
Most of us now are like, man, I just want to get paid.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Want to go get some money, cool things.
And I do think there'll be a big cultural difference. I think there'll be a big cultural difference based on my guess and the way Ricardo talked on the show is this is just a different place of the world, and they don't think about these things like we do. I'm guessing they're just really happy to be able to do something really fun. Yeah. It's not going to be a bunch of, what does it say Corona over there?
Yeah, I got my panties in a snit over something that you can't control. So, yeah.
That's an annoying American ism for you right there. I'm mad because Taco Bell is on my cup. Shut up.
All right, so theoretically, you're listening to this on Wednesday. What's the itinerary? Do you guys have any clue? When do you leave?
Thursday at 9:30 a.m. from Seattle. And I'm flying direct, apparently. So, but we're going to knock on wood with all the flight stuff because it might take us a while to get there.
I don't know if this is just a product of also the way this is coming together in a different foreign way to us. They didn't release as a festival the schedule, like the actual hourly schedule, until like 2 weeks ago. Can you imagine getting ready for a festival here in America and it's 2 weeks out and you don't even know what times the bands are playing? I don't think that's a...
I can imagine that.
I have a harder...
What's going on today? I'm playing a festival today and I don't know who's playing.
I have a harder time understanding that. But the information is usually there if you want it. And so there's just a lot of little things so far that are very different. I find all this stuff fascinating. I even find the inconveniences of it fascinating.
Brian, is your point because they don't know, because they're trying to figure out everybody's flights? I mean, you remember we talked to him, but Ricardo, about that. The getting everybody to Mexico City. I mean, think about that. Again, we laughed about, you know, Manchester's just up the road. It's this pretty much the center, almost the center of the country, or at least the southern part of it. I mean, you're coming from Seattle. You're coming from Chattanooga.
Yeah.
Where are these bands coming from? You know, so I guess that logistically, it probably is the reason that they haven't put the hourlies.
Maybe. That very well is part of it. I don't know. This is going to be a very big learning experience all the way around. And
yeah,
I mean,
excited.
I don't travel outside of this continent. I mean, Beth has touched basically all of them. Many of them. And
many of them, yes.
Mexico is where I've gone the most. I love the country. I love everything about Mexico that I've ever experienced and that I've learned over the years. So I'm excited regardless of any of it. But yeah, it's with a lot of just different variables. It is, you know, we're recording a few days before you hear this and then leaving the next day, and I don't know my itinerary yet at all, but I will, and I feel good about this. Y'all will love this. So I'm talking to our point man, Chris Barry, that you've known, who worked for Bonnaroo for
Chris
maybe
Vineyard,
a decade.
Great guy.
We talked,
We
talked for a while, and boy, you think I'm a talker? He likes to talk, and it's good. It was great because there's a lot of information and everything. But one of the people who are having the opportunity to do the same thing that. Fortunately for me and Beth, we get to do, because you guys legally can't with the passport issue, is Festival. He was like, yeah, Festival is on the list here. And I was like, oh my God. So I'm going to get, are you going to sneak me in to meet this guy? Am I going to get the, am I going to finally be able to, I mean, is it Brad Parker with a mask?
It's Brad
or
Parker,
What happens here? And he's like, I don't know, man. The guy hasn't even sent me his information yet. Like, I still don't know his name. And I don't know for sure. And I don't know if he was playing it up, playing up the shtick of nobody knows or if he actually did. But one of the people on the list that are getting this great opportunity is also Festival. So one of my itinerary, just on my little list, you know, clipboard guy over here is find out who Festival is.
Yeah.
And possibly
might not
want to
have
him.
No, we don't want to expose him.
No,
I want to have him on the show. I want to interview him, and we can do the whole 60 minutes, like darken the camera and obscure the voice and all that. I think that'd be fun.
We don't even know what gender. Right?
I have pitched
To
them.
We don't know it's a guy.
Yeah. Festival, if you're listening, come on, man. We will hide your identity. We just want you. You,
woman.
He, she, woman, whichever.
Yep.
If it's multiple, we'll, you know, whatever. You want to do, we'd love to have you on. I think that'd be fun.
Listen, I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm not going to expose Festival. Yeah.
I just think it's funny.
Unless it's Brad Parker, then I'm exposing the world.
And he's sitting next to you on the plane.
Yeah.
He's going to fist bump me and be like, I got him. I got him this whole time.
Yeah.
I think that's funny. All right. What else, guys? Rust, you said you had some other news. Yep. You had some Bonnaroo related story?
Sort of. I mean, we've been off for a couple weeks, but you guys missed an awesome Boot Scootin' Boogie Nights show. They played in Chattanooga. It's been a couple weeks now. Corey wasn't there. I was hoping to run into him, but they said he took the night off, and then he had major FOMO for not being at that show because it was an awesome show. They put on a great performance. The female singer, I don't remember her name. She was kind of new. She wasn't at the Bonnaroo show, but she said she recognized my voice once I started talking. She was like, oh, you're from the What podcast? And I was like, yeah. So...
There you go.
Awesome in Chattanooga. Yeah, and I did get the official Boot Scootin' Boogie Nights.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So,
boy, they must be making some money in that band.
They had a bunch of merch. They had a bunch of T-shirts and hats and the
hold that up again. That is cool. We need like something that right there. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, for y'all in Knoxville, they have started, Boot Scootin' Boogie Nights has been doing, I don't know how many years in a row, maybe it's just two or three, but it's become a monster show in Knoxville at the Mill and Mine, I believe is what it's called, on Black Friday.
Yeah.
So Black Friday night, Boot Scootin' Boogie Nights is one of the biggest shows in the whole town in Knoxville. So they have done amazing things with that band, and I saw them at they were here in the summer festival we have here or concert series, and
that's right. Yeah, they played Riverfront Nights.
Riverfront
is
Nights.
That right?
If you enjoy that kind of stuff, I mean, you know me, and everybody you're talking to are '90s children, Barry. So the stuff we didn't like back then, we now like
what's the tagline? You both have said it. I didn't know I knew that many of those songs, right?
Oh,
everybody says, I didn't know I would know every word to every song.
Yeah, I mean, if you asked me to just name any 90s country song, I don't think I could do it. But they get up on stage and they start playing, and then it's like, it's like something unlocks, and now it's like, I know every single word to every single song for some reason. So it's a lot of fun if you get a chance to go see Boot Scootin' Boogie Nights.
As aging hipster, 40 somethings romanticize everything about the 90s now, right? Like, it's the greatest decade that could have possibly, and other generations roll their eyes at that.
Yeah, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong, of course, but I get what you're saying.
I was indirectly talking about you.
Yeah. No, I get it. You're 100% wrong, but I get it.
Well, it was a fun show nonetheless. So,
all right, guys, that's our show. Thank you so much, Beth. Thank you for getting up and joining us on a Sunday
festival
morning.
Day. Yeah, thank you.
Festival day.
Thank
You've got
you.
More music.
One more day of the festival,
What, more music, and then I can't wait to hear your report from you and Brian in Mexico, from Mexico City. Yeah. I know you're going to be taking a lot of photos That's going to be a huge part of whatever we present in a week or two or three. I have no idea when it'll be. And just to follow up, we will need to check out with the folks at Bonnaroo, because things will be happening pretty soon, and we will want to present them. So be sure to hit that like and subscribe and share and do all that stuff. And we can't thank you guys enough for listening and being a part of our show. And as we noted, if you see us out and about, please stop and say hello. It means everything. So, all right, that's it. See you guys.
Thank you.
See ya.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.